Continuing with the discussion of Rasa Panchadhyaya, chapter 29, verse 27, we were discussing this verse, Shravanad Darshanad Dhyanan Mayi Bhavo Nukirtanat Na Tata Sanikarshena Pratiyata Tato Grihan. Bhagavan Sri Krishna instructed the gopis again. Now he's teaching them about bhakti yoga as a means to realize God and have the, attain the association of God. Sakhis, transcendental love for me arises by bhakti. The devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and faithfully chanting my glories. Na tata sani karshena. The same result that you will get from that bhakti, you will not achieve by mere physical proximity to me. Sani karshena. And because of that, pratiyata tato grihan, it's better that you should go home and reap the benefits of practicing bhakti yoga. It's not good to stay here. And we heard Sri Jiva Goswami and other acharyas give comments, and some of them said that actually Krishna is saying that the result of, if you go home and perform Vaidhi Bhakti, you will never attain the same result you'll get by Saninikarshena, by staying in close proximity to me. Obviously, if you stay with God, Sakshat Darshan, and association, service of Krishna, you've already attained perfection. And the result you'll attain is not perfection of your sadhana, but perfection of your prema, because your prema will rise into newer and newer levels of ecstasy in the intimate association and service of Krishna, directly, Sakshat. So he's quite correct. The acharyas say, yes, you can never experience the same by doing your murti puja and chanting and hearing my glories. You can never get the same result. So they say, pratiyata tatogrihan, they say he's actually saying, He's saying, go, yes, go, not to your grihan, but to your kunja griha. Don't go back to your homes in Barsana or Yavat, but come with me, stay near me, sani karshena, stay very close to me, and let us together, pratiyata, let us, because pratiyata means please return. Let us return, let us go to the kunja griha, to the pastime cottages in the deep groves of Vrindavan. That's where we left off yesterday. So this word, Sani Nikarshena, reminds us this, I was mentioning yesterday, the six characteristics of devotional service. So when we see this Sani Karshena, Karshena means, I was mentioning yesterday, Karshan means attraction, the attractive power of Krishna, pulling, attracting, drawing, compelling, attracting us near him. And the first chapter, I believe is chapter 1 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's a series of verses where Rupa Goswami, verse 17 through 44, in the first wave of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, he describes the six distinguishing traits of bhakti at the levels, three different levels. Two traits manifest, two characteristics manifest at sadhana bhakti, two in bhava, and to it prema. So I thought we would review those just to remind ourselves and to understand what it means to be on the level the gopis are on. That their love so much attracted the heart of Krishna that he immediately thought of them. He saw the moon and thought of their faces. He smelled the flowers and remembered the fragrance of the flowers in their hair. And he saw the waves of the Yamuna and he remembered the waves of their emotions, their sanchari bhavas. Sanchari is like waves. So when Krishna walked out and saw the full moon night of the Sharad season, everything he saw became an udipan for his Madhurya Rati, for his Shringha Rati, intense loving attachment and conjugal mood towards Radharani and the gopis. So that means that the gopis attracted his mind and senses because of their prema, the intensity of their prema had that ability to attract Krishna's heart, attract his memory, he remembered them, attract his mind, and attracted him so much and pulled him so much and compelled him so much that he was forced by by the power of their love, the Karshan, that attractive power of their love, he was forced to resort, take his Murli, and call them to his side, run to a secluded place under the banyan tree at Bamshivat, and call them to a very secret, private place where he could relish their love and offer his in return. So this is proof of Krishna is all attractive, but the gopis have the power to attract the all attractive. So they're the attractors of the all attractive. Just like we say Cupid churns everyone's mind, mata, but manmata, manmata. The Krishna is manmata, manmata. The aprakrita, aprakrita, Madan Mohan, aprakrita. He's transcendental, divine, spiritual, God of love, Kamadev. Aprakrita Madan Mohan. And he bewilders Madan. Madan means the God of love. And the God of love churns our minds. The man's mind becomes agitated or disturbed in the presence of a young woman or any woman. It's natural, or vice versa. But then he who churns the mind, his mind becomes churned when he sees Krishna. He says, oh, his beauty is so great. It's attracting me. It's drawing me. It's compelling me. He certainly is attractive. And he's spinning my mind. I've lost the ability to control or disturb anyone. I can't even disturb him. I've arranged all the features of Maya in front of his eyes. The beautiful full moon night, the romantic full moon night. There's 12 full moons every year. And the most beautiful, the largest one, the biggest one, the most rasa-filled one, attractive one, colorful one, romantic-filled moon is Sharad Purnima of the 12. It's the biggest, most colorful, most soothing, most enervating, most romantic, and most love-inspiring moon. And I put that in the sky, and I assembled all these girls that some of them are not even married. They're Vrajakanyas. Some are newly married. Some are Nityasiddhas. But still, he's not even attracted. He walked away. And they cried. And cried and cried. Cupid was a failure. There's so many pastimes about how specifically he failed. At the level of sadhana, there's two distinguishing traits Rupa Goswami Pad explains. Kleshagni and Shubhada. And of course, these are unlimited experiences of auspiciousness. Shubhada. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, the performance of sadhana, brings auspiciousness to one's life. Makes one fortunate. He becomes, what is fortune? Fortune is peace of mind. What is fortune? Fortune is a happy heart. What is fortune? To be hopeful about the future. What is fortune? To feel a sense of fulfillment in one's every day. What is fortune? What is shubhadha? It gives that idea that I'm actually making progress towards a realizable goal, and a worthy attainment, moksha. Liberation, preem, a divine intimate relationship with God, leaving behind me all the samsara and all the varna and ashram and karma and families and all this maya and difficulty and anxiety and tension and misery and suffering, disease, and janma, mrityu, jayavyadi, dukkha, dosha, nadarshana, all of it's being left behind me, along with the destruction and evaporation of my parabdha karma and aparabdha karma, kutam and bijam. All this auspiciousness bhakti is bringing. So certainly sadhana bhakti is shubhada. Excuse me, that's shubhada. The second verse is kleshagni, destroys sufferings in different stages of sin. I've kind of blended them both together. And shubhada means brings all auspiciousness and good fortune. So I actually explained kleshagni and shubhada. I explained the virtues and characteristics of both of them. So that's proof, solid proof, the acid test. It's proof. Every devotee can prove in a laboratory of his own experience. In a laboratory of his own experience, he can prove the efficacy of the formulas and axioms of bhakti yoga. It's science. Prabhupada said it's not hearsay. It's not speculation. It's not mythology. It's not make-believe or some imaginary process. It's scientific. It's yoga, bhakti yoga, given by God, God given, and practiced and realized by the great rishis and sages and proponents of reality and the distributors of spiritual wisdom and perfection. They've realized it, they've seen it, they've crossed the other side of the ocean of birth and death, and they came back to take us across the same ocean that they crossed and the same path that they traversed with the same processes they used to attain siddhi and perfection. So they said, this is the way. You have faith, and you develop faith by performing sukriti and good deeds in relation to God. Good deeds in relation to God, then you develop proclivity or interest in God, and gradually that brings you in association with godly men. That's shraddha. You meet godly men, rabbis, priests, ministers, preachers, pracharaks, sadhus, saints, etc., monks, and then they give you more inspiration, and they remove your impediments and obstacles and illusions. Well, this is sadhana bhakti. Then that's pretty much all one will experience. Ever-increasing destruction of suffering in the stages of sin. That'll go on for lifetimes, kleshagni. Parabdha, aparabdha, kutam, it can be. If one is holding on to anarthas and aparads, may take many lifetimes to have the full effect of Shubhada. Shubhada reaches its perfection at the level of Shudanam. When one chants Shudanam, then he has Shubhada Siddhi. He's attained perfection in the effect of Shubhada, of his sadhana. Because there's no more sin, there's no more karma within him. And that Shubhada continues through its characteristics of bhakti. So it's there in sadhana bhakti, Shubhada is there in bhava bhakti, and it's fully realized and manifested in prema bhakti. And then the second one, kleshagni, destruction of suffering, first one rather, kleshagni, destruction of suffering and stages of sin. Madhurya Kanamani, Vishnu Chakravartipad, he says that the scent, the gandha, pap gandha, the aroma, or the scent, or the very slight proclivity or inclination to perform sin, is there even at the level of bhava. And he gives the example, if you have a rose garland, gulab mala, and you're sitting there in a room with someone, they can see the rose garland, it's very self-evident and visible to you, to your eyes and to your nose especially, you're smelling it. And then they leave, the person has left, the wearer of the rose garland is no longer visible or tangible, you cannot touch it or see it, but there's something invisibly lingering. What is that? Invisibly lingering? The ganda, sorab, scent, the smell. And someone will walk in, oh, I smell roses. You have some roses? No, there's no roses here. No, I smell. No, there's no roses. Okay, you'll find the roses. It's the molecules of air carrying that oil, that rose garland, in minute particles. In the same way, our consciousness, all the gross manifestation, the tangible rose garland and the visible rose garland of our sins will disappear at bhava, but there's still some fragrance. Very slight tendency, that fragrance will remind us of the form of that sin, or the shape of that sin, or the direction, or the nature of that sin, and it may capture us and take us back. It's possible, but generally not. Because the one at the level of bhava is doing intense bhajan and receiving intense mercy, which day by day condenses his bhava more and more. And then that condensation of bhava manifests as prema. Sandrananda visheshatma. And there is so much bliss, specialized concentrated bliss that he experiences with the ever-increasing concentration of his bhava and ever newer manifestations of prema, that all that fragrance, a new fragrance comes. The fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet and the fragrance of Krishna's body. Five different things. Kasturi and camphor and chandan, sandalwood, and blue lotus flowers. Blue lotus flowers are actually available. I didn't know that. But they're growing in Bengal and Siliguri, where Gaurangadas is from. He's seen them. I didn't think they existed. I heard they were in Tibet and maybe Thailand, but they're even in Bengal. Have you ever seen blue lotus, Nilakamal, and Orissa, or Bengal? So we see paintings of Radhakund with blue lotus flowers and yellow lotus flowers. Because I was pointing out, I said, look, here's Radhakund painting. Oh, we have those blue ones. I said, I'll bring some here. So this is Shubhada, and then it may take some lifetimes, and Bhava. And why is it, I'm saying it takes some lifetimes? Because the two characteristics, distinguishing features of bhakti at the level of Bhava are Sudurlabha, Sudurlabha. Attaining love, dur, is a long way. Dur means far away. Very, very far away. How far? Very far. And far distance and long time. Long time and long distance. Dur. And is it just dur love? It's su dur love. Really, really a long way away. And in other words, translated as very, very rarely attained. Bhav. Many people may pretend they're in bhav. So to be in bhav, it's very, very rare. It's rarely achieved, but often imitated. We used to have a phrase in America, of course, I don't know, used to, probably still there. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Someone may imitate someone, but they can never duplicate that person because they're not that person. It's extremely difficult and rarely attained, says Rupa Goswami Pad. And if one attains that bhav, Krishna bhav, then moksha laguta, laguta krit, laguta. This lagu means light, guru means heavy, or brihat, excuse me, brihat, guru means heavy, brihat means heavy. So he considers, he decries liberation. That's nothing. Moksha lagu, what do I care? But before that level of bhava, then people are very tantalized and very excited about the proposition of going to heaven or elevation to the spiritual sky or going back home, back to Godhead. Generally, most of us are elevationists, as they would phrase it, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would use, elevationists or salvationists. The modern term is liberationists. Most of us are interested in emancipation, freeing the slaves, emancipating the slaves. Because we feel enslaved by our bodies. We feel bound and trapped by our senses and our ashram and our varna and our very social position we're in, or dharmic position. It's limiting, it's confining, it's tension producing, makes us anxious and worried about the present and the future. So we want out. We want elevation, liberation, escape, freedom. We are freedom seekers. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada talks about the liberated spaceman, Narada Muni. He's a liberated spaceman, he said. Because in that time, everybody was trying to fly off into space. In the 60s in America, the moon landing or whatever they call it. And so people want, space travel was a big new frontiers of space. It was quite the interesting happening in scientific world. The whole world was thinking about going to other planets and selling real estate there and setting up houses, vacation homes in moon planet. And then that dream popped like every other dream, and people got back to the reality of birth and death and struggling for existence, which is all that ever happens here. This is the karmasthan, avidya karmasthan. Mrityuloka is avidya karmasthan. It is a place, it is a location or locale of ignorance, avidya and karma, hard work, struggle. Prakriti stani karshati. So when Prabhupada came to the West and he said, go back home, back to Godhead, everyone picked up this idea, yes, let's get out of here, let's go somewhere. Take me out of here, and fast. Let me get out of here. Let me go there. And it's an expansion of the Christian idea of going to heaven. And then going home, going back to Godhead. Then we come to know there's something called Krishna in the heart and the Dham in the heart. And that actual, an advanced devotee doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to see Krishna everywhere. Wherever he looks, wherever he walks, he wants to see Krishna right here, right now. Home is where your bhav is. Godhead is where your bhav is, bhav drishti. So you see Krishna, if you have Bhava, then you see Krishna everywhere, and you serve him everywhere. So everywhere becomes a spiritual world. Everywhere becomes home. Everywhere becomes Godhead. Because wherever you look, you see your Godhead. You see Krishna. Yomam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam pashyati. Sarvam pashyati. Everywhere you see Krishna. So then you read, Lord Chaitanya is telling us, this is my shiksha, you're a Gaudiya Vaishnava. This is what it means, perfection. Not going back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya doesn't say going back to Godhead. He says, leave everything here and you're back to Godhead. If you drop everything here and perform a Hoituki Bhakti, you've made it. You've attained siddhi of perfection. Drop everything here. You're holding on to so many things here. You're holding on to Dhanam Najanam Nasundaram. Not Dhanam Najanam Nasundaram. Kavitam Ba Jagadish Kami. Mama Janmani Jan. Birth after birth, that doesn't matter. You're there. Once you're there, you're there. If you're in the spiritual world, whether it's Monday or Tuesday, like here, we live in Vrindavan, we don't even know what day it is. We don't know what's happening. Did you know about tsunami? I told this story a few times. People come to me, Maharaj, I didn't know anything. And someone said, they came and asked me a question, what do you think of tsunami? What do you think of tsunami? I said, it's very good. The tsunami, we should chant tsunami, shudanam, tsunami, nami namano. Nami nam binatvam namanamano. The name and that which is named is not different. We should chant the Takshri Krishna Namadi Nabavidra. You know, this is beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. Name is always good. Why are you asking? No, you know, there was so many people died. I said, they died? They really chanted pretty well. It was such a good tsunami. They got liberated. I said, I don't know, what are you talking about? And they looked at me so incredulously, like, don't you know? Didn't you hear? I said, I'm trying to hear every day. I'm trying to hear the holy name every day as best I can. I said, no, you know, in the news there's some tufan and so many people. I said, what are you talking about? What is a tsunami? No, it's called tsunami. I said, I don't know, what are you talking about? This is living in the spiritual world. You don't know. Mama janli janli. Whether it's janli janli, every day is a janam. Janam means birth. You die daily. Pralaya, there's partial pralaya when you take rest at night, partial devastation. Then when you wake up again, it's another day of Brahma. A day of Brahma means your day. You're Brahma. In your universe, you're Brahma. Everyone's in their own universe, chalking out their own designs and living out their own dreams. So you're your own Brahma, and every time you wake up, you're in your own universe. Again, Srishti Pralaya, Srishti Pralaya, creation, destruction, creation, destruction. And finally, Maha Pralaya. You die, Marana, 75, 85, 90. And then again, you go in Vishnu, come out again, like Brahma. But this time you go in the womb and come out again. He comes out on a lotus flower, you come out on an umbilical cord. He's a lotus stem is the same as umbilical cord. You know, Padma, there's a lotus stem, like this fake thing. This lotus stem and then top of that lotus. So at the end of the lotus stem is the umbilical cord, at the end of the umbilical cord is Brahma, first living entity. And the end of your mother's umbilical cord, there you are, from the garbha. It's called garbha, garbhadakshay Vishnu, garbhadakshay Mata. Garbhadakshay Mataji. It's the same thing. Macrocosm and the microcosm. From the macrocosm means the big size, microcosm means microscopic, small size. Anoranion matomayan. What's going on in the atoms, what's going on in the universe? In the atom, there's all little electrons and protons and quarks and all these things spinning and flying here and there, minute size. And you go up there and it's all universes and galaxies spinning around each other and the sun planets like an atom. And it's the same thing. Astronomy and microbiology and it's the same. Physics. Astronomy and physics is the same. They're looking at big particles moving around in space. They're looking at small particles moving around in space. I looked through an electronic microscope, cyclotron. When I was in college, we had one. So he looks through, and he looks through the big telescope, and you see planets and galaxies, and they're going this way and that way. And there's vacuoles, there's black holes in space, and this universe folds inside of that one. And you look down here, and this atom's going. It's the same. Very rare to attain Bhav. But when you come there, then moksha, we don't care about moksha. Because every day you're liberated. Iha yasya harirdasya karmanamana sagira. Jivan mukta siyuchate. as is told in Hari Bhakti Surodaya, we quoted before, that yasya haridasya kamaranamasa. Haridas, Haridasi. If I'm serving Haridas, I'm mamukshu. Mamukshu, I'm mukta jeev, I'm liberated. What's the difference? You open your eyes, you're serving Krishna. You close your eyes, you're serving Krishna. But it's rare. If we attain, and we can't fake that consciousness. We're worried about the future. We're afraid of death. We're hoping for elevation. We're hoping for salvation. We're hoping for upliftment to Godhead, to the spiritual world. Get me out. I'm in ignorance. I'm in passion. I'm attached. I'm lost. I have hope against hope. That's what we live on and thrive on and go on day to day. But at Baba, it's like, Ajke Anandaki, really Anand. You have your feet in the ocean of bliss at Baba. Then you dive deeply at Prem, and it becomes Premananda Sagar, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But at Baba, your feet are there. There's a sign that says, don't wash your feet in the Bhavananda Sagar. Like in Radhakund, there's a sign, don't wash your feet. Should have a sign that says, don't wash your feet, wash your heart. Everything's so negative. Whenever they make signs in Braj Mandal, it's always so negative. Don't smoke bidis, don't spit pan. So don't smoke bidis, chew Mahaprasad, or honor Mahaprasadam. Don't wash your feet in Radhakund, wash your heart with Sri Harinam. Don't spit pan. Throw out your lust, anger, and greed. This is a sign that you make. Why only no's? There should be yeses. Like as they say that there's two kinds of parents. One parent just punishes. The other gives an alternate engagement. He's making nonsense. Prabhupada used analogy. He's making nonsense. Oh, stand on the corner. Stop your nonsense. Stands there. So he has energy. And he has creative ability. And he's talented. He wants to do something. So then you say, hey, stop what you're doing nonsense. But here, so you take this pen and this paper, see these lines, and what? See these circles I'm making? Like this. See if you can let's have a game. See if you can keep the circles, make these circles and stay within the boundary of these lines. If you do a whole paper, then I'll give you one toffee. You do five papers. So then the boys, for 20 minutes he's doing. And as you show me, very quiet, very peaceful. And he's learning motor control, how to control his little baby fingers, little child fingers, how to stay in the lines. The mother's preparing him how to write evenly like this, and some reward. Now this is another way to correct behavior. No, stop. So now we get to prema. What are the characteristics of prema? Sandra Nanda Visheshatma. Sandra Anand. Vishesh Atma. It's a manifestation of a special, densely concentrated spiritual sandra. Sandra means concentrated, and Vishesh means a very specialized, concentrated, thick spiritual bliss. And that bliss is so supreme and so vast and unlimited and variegated and fulfilling and satisfying and enervating and uplifting. And mind expanding and heart drenching, that it makes the supreme happiness of Brahman realization, which is called Brahmananda, to appear like a drop, just like a drop of water in the ocean of the Premananda Sagar, Prem Sindhu. There's an ocean of bliss at Krishna Prema. And then you compare Brahman realization, Brahma Suyuja Mukti, Kaivalya Mukti, of the Gyanis and Yogis. They're drowning in that drop. Because they're only 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. The Atma is only 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, so tiny. So one drop of the Brahmananda, the Brahman Sukh, this Brahmananda, this ocean of Brahman realization, this one drop that's available in Brahman realization, that's enough to drown the Atma. But that's all. You can't swim in that drop. You can only drown. Just like, for example, sometimes we hear men or someone taking a bath and they fall in the bathtub and they drown. A couple inches of water. They break their leg or something. Their mouth gets in the water and then they take in water and they die. But they can't swim there. Maybe they can drown there. So the prema of bhakti, you can swim in the ocean, unlimited, swim here and there forever, unlimited boundaries. So now it says, this is the point we want to get to. The prema has the quality and characteristics of Sri Krishna Karshini. This word in verse 27 is Sannikarshina. Sannikarshina. Krishna Karshina. The ability to attract Sri Krishna and his associates. And it attracts Sri Krishna's associates, and it brings Krishna's associates under the control of the Premi Bhakta and into their eternal association. So this is what happened here, Sannikarshina. They had attained, the gopis attained proximity. They attained the direct association with Krishna because of the intensity of their prema, and this is the characteristic of prema. It brings one directly into the association of Krishna. And now Krishna is saying, oh, you should go home to your houses. And they say, it's not possible, because our prema has attracted you to us, and your prema has attracted us to you, and now we're inseparable from one another. You can't separate our prema, because our prema is lodged in your heart, and your prema is lodged in our heart. So our hearts are inseparable. They've melted together like shellac. Shellac, when you melt it, the pieces come together and they become one. So now our hearts are one. So this is, the gopis themselves are showing here that Krishna Prabhupada gives a very interesting purport in Nectar Devotion. And Rupa Goswami is talking about the six characteristics of devotion. He says, Sri Krishna Karshini. And what Rupa Goswami writes, he says that Sri Krishna means Sri Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. Karshini means to attract. It attracts Krishna, the prema of a bhakti, a bhakta, a premi bhakta. His magnetic, unbelievable power of his love attracts Krishna to him. Krishna comes. We don't give sakshat darshan to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I'm going to give you my sakshat darshan. You're qualified. Krishna, you're qualified for my sakshat darshan. Krishna, you're qualified for my spurti. It works the other way around. We attain bhava or prema, and we become qualified to receive a deep vision or experience of Krishna and spurti at bhava. Or Krishna comes to us at prema because of this quality or trait of Sri Krishna Karshini. So the gopis have that. They don't have Karshini, they have Sannikarshini. Ni means excessive, special, deep. And san means complete. Because everything about the gopis attracts Krishna. Not only their prema, the feelings and position of their heart, their surrender, their dedication, their purity, but their very forms are beautiful and captivating to his senses and mind, and their speech and everything about them captivates. Whereas the form of a premi bhakta, he may be ugly. He's an old man or an old woman, so there's no physical beauty to them. But the gopis, their forms, their names, their forms, qualities, everything is transcendental and fully imbued with prema, which attracts Krishna immensely and completely. So that's Sannikarshina. The gopis can have this quality. It's their quality of their prema is Sri Krishna Sannikarshina. The verse says Sannikarshina. The complete, attracting Krishna completely. Prabhupada interprets, so that everywhere, even Jiva Goswami's commentary in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, yes, this attracts Sri Krishna and his associates to you and you to them. So then Prabhupada interprets the word Sri and Sri Karshan, Sri Krishna Karshani, as a characteristic of Prema Bhakta to mean Srimati Radharani. And then Sri Jiva Goswami says Sri refers to Sri Krishna's entourage. Krishna, Sri means opulence, wealth, fortune, vibhutis. So he says, because he's giving the commentary in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu per the order of his uncle, Rupa Goswami. And he says, what Rupa Goswami is telling here of the characteristic of prema is that Krishna comes and you get darshan of Krishna and you may get darshan of Krishna with his associates. You're in Keturi and you're chanting Shuddha Nam in the Keturi Sankirtan Mahotsav 50 years after the Tirubhava and disappearance of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. And then some people, they're chanting Shuddha Nam, and they saw Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Dvaita, They saw them all dancing in the kirtan party because they had the prema. So they could see not only Sri Krishna, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, but they saw his anga, his astra, his devotee, and then Sri Advaita and Nityananda. So Jiva Goswami says that. Sri refers to Sri Krishna's entourage, eternal associates, Nityaparishads. All of them become charmed into submission. Krishna and all of his associates become charmed into submission by prema bhakti. And prema brings the devotee into the association of Krishna. Now let's see what Prabhupada says here. A very nice thing. This is in the beginning of the Nectar Devotion. Number 15. It talks about six characteristics. And this is Sri Krishna. It says, attracting Krishna. Rupa Goswami stated that bhakti at the level of prema attracts even Krishna. Krishna attracts everyone, but bhakti attracts Krishna. The symbol of bhakti in its highest degree is Radharani. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, which means that Krishna is so attractive that he can defeat the attraction of thousands of cupids. But Radharani is still more attractive, for Radharani can even attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call Radharani Madan Mohan Mohini Ki?
Jai.
Madan Mohan Mohini, the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. To perform bhakti, devotional service, is to follow in the footsteps of Radharani. That's nice. To perform bhakti yoga, I mean, somehow these very interesting points are never kind of, people glossed over them, and you say, Radhe, Radhe, hey, Hare Krishna. This word, Radharani or Jai Radhe, that's taboo, that's forbidden, that's a dirty word. What are you saying? Hare Krishna. But this is 1969. This book was published. Krishna book in 68, Nectar Devotion, 1969. And we had Prabhupada's 35th Tirubhav Utsav the other day. And then 69 and 31 and 12, 40, whatever that is, quite a few years, 40 years ago. 70s, 30, 40, 43 years ago this book was published. Now you're hearing and chanting, and you're doing deity worship in the temple, and you're offering prayers, Jaya Radha Madhava Yashamati Nandan. We're supposed to do this in Anugata of Radharani. You're supposed to be Radha Sakhi Anugata. Huh? What? Hey, this is bogus. Well, Prabhupada, I'm just quoting Prabhupada. We should put ourselves under the care of Radharani. That means become a Palyadasi of Radharani. Palya, Palana means protection, nourishment. Poshana means nourishment. Palana means protection. So Prabhupada's telling us we should put our devotees should perform devotional service by following in the footsteps of Radharani. Seva sadaka rupena sirupena chatrani. We should follow Anugata, the Radharani's footsteps. Where is her footsteps? Her footsteps are walking in the kunjas of Vrindavan. And her footsteps are, she's full of viraha. She's chanting Krishna's name with viraha bhav and gopi geet and viraha geet and all these geets. We should follow her and worship her teachings and worship her Govardhan, Haridas Varya, and all the things. We should follow what she says and what her moods are as revealed by Srupa Damodar and Ramananda Roy in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Should follow in the footsteps of Radharani. And devotees in Vrindavan, they put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to attain perfection in devotional service. So back home, Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is my eternal home. So devotees in ISKCON or any Gaudiya Vaishnava movement are supposed to be all devotees in Vrindavan. Mathura Mandala Vasastali. This Panchanga Bhakti mentioned twice in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He lists 64 angas of devotion and he repeats twice to drive home the point that we should live in Vrindavan and practice bhakti yoga, chanting the holy name, studying Bhagavatam, Sarasanga, Srimurti, Shodaseva. So we should all, everyone in Gaudiya mission, should put themselves under the care of Radharani. I mean, so Prabhupada, what Prabhupada is saying is everyone, every Gaudiya Vaishnava should become a Paliyadasi of Radharani. Paliyadasi means, a servant, maidservant, female servant, dasi, and Pali means protected, a protected maidservant. Who says put yourself under the care? And if you do that, what happens? You get perfection. What is perfection? Krishna prema. In other words, bhakti is not an activity of the material world. Bhakti is directly under the control of Radharani, because Bhakti Devi is her expansion. She controls the devotees by expanding herself as bhakti. Bhakti Devi makes us dance. Bhakti Devi makes us breathe, walk, sing, chant, do everything. That's Radharani. So that's how she's controlling. Bhakti is directly under the control of Radharani. So what does that mean? If one thing's equal to each other, one are equal to each other, whatever that thing is. So if bhakti is directly under the control of Radharani, as Srila Prabhupada is saying on page 16 of Nectar Devotion, and bhakti enters our heart at the time of diksha, what does that mean? That everyone who is initiated is directly under the control of Radharani. It's simple logic, simple conclusion. Prabhupada says, in other words, bhakti is not an activity of the material world. That means we don't obtain bhakti from the material world, from the material practices, from any kind of material activity. We obtain bhakti from a bhakta, who has received it from a bhakta and bhakta, and it comes from the spiritual world. And then, in diksha, bhakti enters the heart. Now, bhakti is, like, for example, if I make some robot and it's remote control, has some batteries or whatever, and I have some controls, I can make it walk and go here and there and sit down and lift something and do an industry. Sometimes in industry they use these robots to carry things or do things. So now that's someone who's not the robot, a living person, he's moving controls and the robot's moving. So the bhakti is directly under the control of Radharani. So when bhakti enters our heart, Radharani has the controls. She's directly controlling, because bhakti is her robot, you can say in the analogy. Bhakti is her expansion, Bhakti Devi's expansion of Radharani, and she can expand unlimitedly, thousands and thousands and millions of devotees. Who are the Astasakis? Are they expansions of Radharani's devotion? Yes. Who are all the Sakis? Who are all the Mahishis of Dwarka? They're expansions of Radharani. Who are all the demigoddesses in the heavenly planets? They're all expansions of Radharani. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a bhajan describing that very same point. So as Krishna expands unlimitedly, infinitely, all over the universe, Bhagavati and Bhagavan, Radharani is Shakti, Adya Shakti. As Adya Shakti, Radharani expands herself infinitely in every direction all over the universe to serve the expansions of the Lord. This is her unlimited. So that's her seva, her expansions in the material world, but then she has expansions in the spiritual world, her kaya-vyuha. Kaya-vyuha, the sakis, directly expansions of her body and her bhav, and different nuances and aspects and flavors of her bhav, and vasachika bhav, and avisarika bhav, and all these different kalahantarita bhav. And each of the sakis represents a different primary bhav in relation to Shringarati or Madhurya Ras with Krishna. And all of them are within Radharani. Kalahantarita, and Kila Kinshit Bhav, and Vasak Sajika, and Avisarika. There's eight heroines. And they're all different aspects of Radharani's loving moods and mellows and desires to please and satisfy Krishna in a variety of new and interesting ways. So, Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radharani's heart. As the Sakis are expansion of her heart and form, Bhakti Devi is expansion of Radharani's heart, Ladini Shakti. And when Radharani's heart expands and Krishna's heart expands, Radharani's heart expands as Ladini in the form of Bhakti Devi, Then Krishna, seeing that Bhakti Devi, says, oh, I want to be there too. I want to have union with Bhakti Devi. So then Krishna expands his Samvit Shakti. And Samvit Shakti unifies with Bhakti Devi. So Bhakti Devi, what is Bhakti Devi? The unification of Krishna's Samvit Shakti, Shaktiman Samvit Vasudev Sri Krishna, and Ladini Shakti Radharani, Prem Sarupini Radha. So this is Bhakti Devi. That Bhakti Devi, being Radharani's Angsa, or Anga, is now under her direct control. So the answer is the heart. So that's why I said 10 minutes ago that we're chanting because of the impulse and movements of Radharani, Bhakti Devi. But any bhakti that we're expressing is because of Radharani's presence in our heart. So therefore we put ourselves, we become Palyadasis, we become protected maidservants of Radharani, directly under the care of Radharani, and this way we attain perfection in bhakti. Because bhakti is prema, and prema bhakti is Radharani's heart. Krishna's heart is prema bhakti, prema srupini Radha, and prema srup Sri Krishna. Rasaraj Mahabhav, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Directly under the control of Radharani. This is really nice. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Mahatmas, or great souls, are under the protection of Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy, Radharani. So great souls are Shuddha Bhaktas, Premi Bhaktas. What's that verse? Mahatmanastimam parta daivam prakriti mashita vachanti nande manasar gyatam vadam dhanam. Gyatam vadam. So it says that Daivi Prakriti Ashrita. Ashraya. Daivi Prakriti Ashraya means Radha Ashraya. Means Vibhav, Prem Ashraya. The Manjari Sakhis, the Palidasis, they're Ashrayas. They're Ashrayas of Radharani's Prem. Prem Ashraya Dasis. They're servants of the Ashraya, the abode of Prema, Krishna Prem, Radharani, Palidasis. Prem Ashraya. So that's we are also, we say Guru Pada Ashraya. Bhakti begins with Guru Padashraya, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru, because he's an Ashrayak. He's taking shelter of the Prema Shraya Radha. Vibhava Lamban. Vibhava Lamban, Prema Shraya Radha. He's taking shelter there and serving her. He's enshrined Radha in his heart. And he's under her care and under her protection. So therefore he's Sri Guru. We say Sri Guru. Sri Guru Charan. Sri Guru. Guru means he's heavy like Krishna, but he's sweet like Radha. Guru means heavy, yama niyam, but Sri means sweet, beautiful, tender, effulgent, valuable, opulent. So Guru is sweet and heavy. Sri Guru. Because the word Guru means heavy. Sri Guru. Nice. Aishwarya and Madhurya mix. Sri is... It seems Sri would be usually considered Aishwarya, Sri Lakshmi. But in this case, it means Sri Radha. Sri Radha is all about tenderness and sweetness, compassion, love, and beauty. All packaged together in a tantalizingly captivating and enchanting form, which spins Krishna's mind in 1,000 directions and makes him dance across the universe. Sri Krishna, Jai Sri Radha. So being directly under the control of the internal potency of Krishna, devotional service attracts even Krishna himself. This paragraph on page 16 will take one back to Godhead. It's so deep. So very, very deep. Being directly under the control of the internal potency of Krishna. So bhakti is Radharani's expansion. So if Radharani enters into your heart, then will Krishna be attracted to you? Why? Because he's attracted to Radharani. Oh, Radharani's there, then I go there. Radharani's in Suryakund, I go to Suryakund. Radharani's in this Radhakund, I go to Radhakund. Radharani's in Kusin Srover, I go to Kusin Srover. Radharani's in Govardhan, Kandara, Cave of Govardhan, I go there. Wherever Radharani is, Krishna runs there, flies there. Madan Mohan Mohini. So now Radharani, her Amshara part has entered the heart. By Guru's grace, Sri Guru's grace. So now Krishna says, oh, Radharani, you've gone inside that heart? Now I'm going to run after that heart. I want to squeeze that juice of love from that heart. Because that's you. That's your love, that your sweetness, your tenderness. Don't try, hey, why are you trying to run away from me? Hey. Okay, you did nonsense. Anyway, Apichatsurachu, come here, let me embrace you. Radharani's in your heart. She'll never leave your heart no matter what stupid thing you do. She may sleep and hide from you, but then when you act rightly and properly, she'll show her sweet face, again give her tenderness. And by that beautiful attraction you'll manifest, Krishna will come running to embrace you once again. Apichet suracharo bhajate mama nanyabha sarayiva jamantavya samyagvavyavisitahisa. I think so. Maybe I mixed up a few words. So this is nice. Very beautiful. These are the sweet gems that shine out of Prabhupada's books, like Vaidurya gems. When Prabhupada opens his heart and lets Radharani come out and dance in his words, a few places he does that. His Nectar Devotion, he started Nectar Devotion, he wrote this particular section. He wrote, not this section, he wrote in New York, but the beginning of Nectar Devotion, he started in Vrindavan and Sevakunj. He prayed to Rupa Goswami and said, please empower me, I want to present your book in English. All right, my Guru Bhai, he also presented it. I heard that my Guru Bhai is also working on it, but I want to work on it also. Because Prabhupada actually started first. You can see a message of Godhead in the early Back to Godhead magazine, in India, the India editions of, whatever it's called, Bhagavad Darshan, and I think Back to Godhead, I think same name. Prabhupada started verse by verse, word by word, meaning of Nectar Devotion. He got up to Anyabhilashita Shunyam, and those are published in English as memorial, hardbound books of all Prabhupada's Back to God, as you can see. Maybe it's on the folio, I don't know. And so this was back in the 40s, Prabhupada was serializing. He wanted to do verse-by-verse translation. Then later, in 1969, his godbrother, Ban Maharaj, printed in English part one of the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a very good scholarly edition. And Prabhupada started the whole thing way before, long before, in his early days in the 50s. And 40s, actually. You can see that. So many things happened. Then when Prabhupada went to America in 66, again he picked it up and he finished it in America and published in 1969 with a donation from Jayananda. My godbrother Jayananda Das, who's now in Goloka, he gave $5,000 donation. Prabhupada published Nectar Devotion. And he mentions it such in the foreword of the book. Special thanks to Jayananda Das for his kind donation for this book. The Prabhupada wanted to immortalize the memory of his great pure devotee, Jayananda. Definitely everyone should read this Nectar Devotion thoroughly, especially that those special pages like that. Page 16. Interesting, it's on page 16. Radharani's like sweet 16. Actually, she's 14. How old is Radharani? 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days. Exactly. That's precise. 14 years, 2 months, and how old is Krishna? Krishna is 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days. Sometimes the boys fight over that. Subal says, I'm 15 years, 9 months, 8 days. No, you're only 6 and a half. No, I'm 7 and a half. Ta, 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 ta. They fight over who's half a day older. I'm half a day older than you. I'm bigger than you. So let's go on here to verse 28. So Krishna's tried to preach to the gopis, it's better you go home and worship a deity. What are you doing standing in front of me waiting to serve me and embrace me and love me intimately in Madhuri Ras? Better you go home and do some puja. He says, Darshana, Shravana Darshana Anukirtana, go home and establish some murti and do some puja, then chant some shlokas, and then that way you can attain me. So, why are you doing here? Sri Shukla Vacha iti vipriyam akarnya gopya govinda bhashitam vishana bhagna sankalpash chintam apurdaratyayam govinda bhashya. Very interesting. This is Shukadeva Goswami. Krishna has spoken now for 27 verses. Well, not exactly 27 verses. I think he spoke and maybe started verse 17. In the first so many verses, Shukadeva Goswami was narrating the situation. of the gopis leaving everything and coming there. Then he had some discourse where he was answering and removing some doubts of Parikshit about the purity and possibilities of attaining Krishna by lust or greed or envy or hatred, reminding him of Shishupal and establishing the purity and sanctity of the gopis and preaching about that. And then the gopis finally, of course, arrived in front of Krishna. And then he goes on to verse 18. From verse 18 to 27, Krishna was 18. That's 10 verses. In 10 verses, Krishna was preaching Jaimini Rishi's, what's it called, that philosophy? Karma Mimamsa. Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which basically means follow your ashram duty and your varna duty of your social and spiritual position. And gradually in this way you'll attain elevation, progress, and liberation. So therefore, go home and serve your husbands, take care of your children, feed the cows and calves. You shouldn't be here with me. So he wasn't preaching bhakti, he was preaching karma. Basically karma, karma yoga. Shri Shuka Vacha, translation. So Krishna spoke for 10 verses, then there's an interlude here where Shukadeva Goswami speaks for a few to narrate the situation again. He's the go-between. There's the narrator, there's the hero and the heroine. And they're both there, but to see the movie of their Leela or to follow the scenes of the drama, Act 1, Act 2, Act 1, of course, is Chapter 29 with so many scenes. So this scene, of course, is the Samlap, the supreme Samlap, the Yukti Prayukti, arguments and counter-arguments. We heard Krishna's strong arguments based on Dharma and Dharma Shastras and tradition and morality and ethics and religion. Krishna gave his arguments why and how the gopi should behave and act properly according to society and morality and religion and tradition and reputation to go home, serve their husbands, relatives, children, and be proper Dharma vidha, knowers of Dharma. And then they'll counteract that by saying, we've already transcended that, sarva dharma prityaja, we've left all of that, we've attained shelter of your lotus feet, we're absolutely 100% surrendered and sheltered. We have nothing else in the world but you. You are everything, man, tan, dan. So they counter his arguments with their counter-arguments in this conversation of love back and forth. So to introduce that, their conversation goes on for 10 verses, verse 31 to 41. 28, 29, and 30 are the interlude where the narrator of the Leela, or the drama of the Ras Leela, the love story, he's now picking up the thread of the story. Krishna made his delivery of very unpleasant words, very indifferent words, very contrary words, very not very loving or personal words. And they're listening. They're amazed. They're astonished. They're confused. They're bewildered. One word was used to describe the gopis' response, vimohayan. Vimohayan. Completely excessively confused and bewildered. But at the same time, his speech was very attractive and very sweet because they were taking the internal hidden meaning, the implied meaning, hidden meaning behind the external arrangement of the Sanskrit words. And this was giving them relish and some happiness and some hope that their desires to serve him would not be frustrated. Although externally he was driving them home and repeatedly said, go home, return to your homes. For these reasons you should go back, and for these other reasons you should go back. And they're saying, actually, he's saying, go back. It's a very frightening forest. There's danger. Gora Rup, Gora Sata, Satwa, Gora Satwa, Gora Rup. It's dangerous, fearful night in this dark jungle. And there's ferocious, man-eating jungle animals like tigers and snakes and scorpions. And you should go home and save yourself, protect yourself, and be safe. But inside the Sanskrit, it's not Gora Rup, it's Agora. Agora, which means not frightening. And they're very peaceful, loving creatures of Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, all the creatures love each other and respect each other. There's no man-eating tigers here. They simply drink water and walk right by the man. They walk right by the man chanting japa, or any man serving Krishna. And they walk, drink some water and walk right by him. Don't even look at him. Das Goswami. That's 500 years ago. What to speak of 5,000 years ago. So therefore, inside those words, Krishna was saying, don't be afraid. It's not a frightening evening. It's a very beautiful evening. It's so sweet and beautiful and charming and romantic. And there's no dangerous animals here because they're full of love and respect and honor. And I never heard of anyone being eaten. There's no man-eating tigers in Krishna's Leela. There's some man-eating rakshasas like Keshi, who was a man-eating horse, according to Garga Samhita. And Harivansh Puran, he was a real vicious. He was harassing Krishna's grandfather, Krishna's father, and Krishna himself, Keshi. He was a very bad demon. And then he got linked up with Kansa. And Krishna finished him off, of course. Keshi demon. So that was inside, so that's why they continued to stay up. He says, Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing these unpleasant words, vipriyam, they were not pleasing, unpleasant. Vipriyam, against Priya. These words were against their Priyaji, against their dear love that they had for Krishna. Akarnya. Karna means, of course, karna means hearing. The gopis, hearing these unpleasant words spoken by Govinda, Govinda Bhashya. Very interesting. Govinda Bhashitam, like Braj Bhasha. Words spoken by Govinda. The gopis became Vishana. Vishana means morose, unhappy. Why? Because their great hopes, their Asha, their great hopes were frustrated and they felt insurmountable anxiety. Their sankalpa, it says, sankalpash bhagna. Bhagna. Bhagna sankalpa. Means their sankalpa, their affirmation, their vow, their desire was broken by Krishna, was thwarted and defeated by Krishna. As a result, chinta, duratyayam, they experienced insurmountable anxiety. Vipriyam Govinda Bhashitam. This is not the Govinda Bhasya Baladev Vidyabhushan, which established the worship of Govindaji in Galta and Jayapur and secured the Seva Puja of Govindaji for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because the Ramanandi sadhus, Ramanandis are a branch of Sri Sampradaya, they worship Sitaram instead of Lakshmi Narayan. And they contested and challenged the Gaudiya's qualification, adhikar, to do Seva Puja to this Govindaji Murti in Jayapur, the king's deity. The king himself was initiated by the Ramanandi sadhus. He was a disciple. So they said, listen, king, I am your guru. I want Govindaji Seva in the Ramanandi Sampradaya. This is the king's deity, and you are my disciple. So therefore, the Seva Puja should be my disciples should serve the deity. What are these Bengalis? They're not even our people. They're not Rajasthanis. They're not you people, UP people. They eat eggplant, bagan, and mustard oil. They don't eat dal bati churma. They don't eat dal bati churma. Dal bati churma, kachori, and rubri. They like the rasgulla. And they samosa. Oh, no, rasgulla and misti dahi. Eggplant. So we should get the Seva Puja. So they, and not only that, that's a practical consideration. That's probably probably the bottom line of the whole thing. But then they try to make it sound scholastic by saying, the Gaudiyas, besides that, they don't have any commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And of course they do. They have Sri Bhashya. You've heard of Sri Bhashya, which is their commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. They don't have one because they consider that the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra is written by the compiler of Vedanta himself, Vedanta Krit Veda Vit Evacham. Vedanta Krit Veda Vit Evacham. Krishna says, I am Vedanta Krit. Krishna says in Gita, I appear as Vedavyas, my literary incarnation, to compile all the Vedas. And I wrote down the Vedanta. And then I decided to comment on it. I wrote a commentary called Srimad Bhagavatam. So I commented on the major shlokas of Vedanta Sutra. The first shloka of Vedanta Sutra, chapter 1, section 1, chapter 1, verse 1, is Chanmadyasya Yataha. And the second one is Param Satyam Jadimahi. Param Satyam Jadimahi. So these are two sutras of Vedanta Sutra, which are in the very first verse of the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Chanmadyasya Yataha. Itarashan Vigyasura. Goes on. Param Satyam Jadimahi. So then, they Gaudiya Vaishnava Pujaris and Gurus, they say, there's no need, we have, this is it. No, that's not sufficient. We also, the Bhagavatam was also there, but our Acharya, our founder Acharya, our Ramanuja, he wrote Sri Bhashya. So you have your founder Acharya. Yes, and our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Bhagavat Purana as a natural commentary, no need for another. We don't accept that. You have to have your own. If you don't have your own, the king, every Sampradaya has their commentary on Vedanta Sutra except these Gaudiyas. Therefore, they're bogus. They're unqualified. Oh, yeah. Maybe you're right. That could be. But what does he know? He's a king. He doesn't know about all these things. So he's a little bewildered. So he doesn't know what to say. So he said, yes, all right. If the Gaudiyas don't produce a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra within 2 months, then the Seva Puja will go to my guru, Ramanandi Sarus, and the Ramanandi, my guru bhais. Oh, big alarm in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And they're out there in the desert. A handful of pujaris. They're not scholars. They're simply pandas and pujaris and cooks from Bengal. They don't know all this Shastra Tattva. So then they're thinking what to do. So they came to Vrindavan. They said, oh, Vishnath Chakravartipad, you must do something. Our right to worship Govindaji, Rupa Goswami's Thakurji, is being challenged and threatened, about to be taken by the Ramanandis. Please, we can't let this happen. Oh, yes. Just see. Kali is acting. I cannot go. I am too old now. But I'll send my student, my Shiksha disciple, Baladev Vidyabhushan. He's Vidyabhushan. Baladev. Baladev. He's a lord of power, scholastic intellectual power, vast learning, erudition, Sanskrit, Persian, everything. I will send him. He's mastered all the teachings I've given him. He'll represent me in the interest of the Gaudiya. So representing the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and every single Gaudiya Vaishnava, and representing the heart of every single Gaudiya Vaishnava is Baladev Vidyabhushan. Because the heart of every single Gaudiya Vaishnava is Teen Prabhu. The Teen Prabhus are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita in one verse. It says in Bengali, Teen Prabhus. The Teen Prabhus are the three worshipful murtis and takovers of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Who are the Teen Prabhu? Madan Mohan Prabhu, Govindaji Prabhu, and Gopinath Prabhu. So these three deities established by Madhu Pandit Goswami, Gopinath, and then Rupa Goswami, Radha Govinda, and Sanat Goswami, Madan Mohan. These are the life and soul at every heart of every Gaudiya Vaishnava. Every single Gaudiya Vaishnava in their house say, install a deity, and they give the deity's name, Radha Govinda. You go all over Bengal, Orissa, anyone has Radha Govinda deities, what are their names? Generally, Govindaji, sometimes Madan Mohan, and Gopinath, mostly Govindaji. This is the Seva Murti of Rupa Goswami. So now Govindaji, the original Adi Thakurji, Govinda Devji Maharaj, Ki. He's going to be lost to the Gaudiya Sampradaya, captured by the Ramanandis, who don't even worship Radha and Krishna. Their Paramgati is Ayodhya Dham, Vaikuntha Ayodhya. Their Aradhya Dev is Sitaram, Hanuman Lakshman. Sitaram, basically. What is this? This is paradoxical. Ironic, it can't be. Vishnu said, go, save Thakurji for us. So Baladev went. He got there. It's an impossible task. How can I do it? Only a few days remaining. He prayed to Govindaji, Govindaji, please empower me. Sarvasya chaham ridhisana vishto matasmati gyanam apolanamcha. From you comes all remembrance, knowledge. Purushan rishu, you are the source of ability, buddhiman. You're the source of intelligence, power, strength. Please, Govindaji, please empower me. Give me the strength, guidance, intelligence, realization, knowledge, and power to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Most difficult, katin kam, very difficult, hard work. Then late at night he started writing. His hand was moving as if automatically. And he felt Govindaji was just sitting sitting on his shoulder, speaking in his ear, in his right ear, and this, and say this, Atato Brahma Jignasa. He writes down the sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now is the time to inquire about Brahman. This is Vedanta Sutra. Then Govindaji say, this is what you say, then he starts writing. Tattvamasi, everything, he's writing everything, all commentaries in Vedanta Sutra. And then went on for days, non-stop, no sleeping, eating. And it was finished. And he wrote, lastly he wrote, Om Tat Sat. Completed certain date, he wrote, by the mercy of Thakurji, Sri Govindadevji Maharaj, something like that. Govindadevji. And then it was, he called it Govindavasya. Sri Govindavasya ki jai. So that was presented in that debate with the Ramanandi sadhus as the evidence and proof of the Gaudiya Vaishnava's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. It was astoundingly received by all the scholars and non-biased members of the judging panel of Brahmins and Pundits, and acclaimed and hailed as a wonderful contribution to the world, the Govindavasya, Sri Govindavasya, by Baladeva Vibhushan. And then the Gaudiyas retained their rights to serve, and even to this day, when you go to Karoli in the middle of the desert and see Madan Mohan, or you see Gopinath, and where's Gopinath? He's also in Jayapur. Or you go to see Govindaji in Jayapur, all the Saivites are Bengalis. And all the Boga is Bengali Boga since 400 years, 500 years. The king is not a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He's a worshipper of Durga, or whomever, I can't say. Queen, or whoever's in charge over there. They're definitely not Gaudiyas, nor are they, maybe the Ramanandis, I don't know. So this is Govinda. So here we, Shukadeva Goswami, it says Govindabhashitam. Govindabhashya. So Govindabhashya. Govinda is speaking to the gopis, but they didn't like his Vedanta. They didn't like his commentary on Vedanta, because his commentary is full of karma and gyan. It's Govindabhashitam. So they're going to give their commentary, which will be Vedanta, Bhakti Vedanta. Their prayukti, his yukti was karma and gyan, karma mimamsa. His argument, yukti, their prayukti, their counter-argument will be Bhakti Vedanta. They'll establish the highest principles of Vedanta, which is prema and surrender to God, an absolute dependence on God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the gopis, although they're abhira caste, they're simple, innocent, coward girls. Somehow they're the greatest tattvavadis, the greatest tattvavadis and tattvagyanis. Vedanta tattvavidas yattach jnanam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavan dishavyate. It says in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Vedanti tattvavidas, tattvavida, tattvavida, those who know tattva, vida means ved, those who actually knowers of truth, the absolute truth, the supreme spiritual truth, the absolute truth, alokik, the aprakrita, aprakrita, advaita gyan, aprakrita tattva. Those who are knowers of that, Vedanti, that know the Vedanti tattvavidas, the Vedantis, that really know, they understand that the absolute truth has three manifestations according to the level of one's advancement of consciousness as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. So the gopis are the greatest Vedantists. Vedanti, they're Vedantists. Vedanti, end of Veda. Vedanti tattvavidas. Yattach jnanam advayam, the advaya jnan, the advaya jnan, the aprakrita tattva, the alokik tattva, the transcendental spiritual knowledge of the absolute truth has, it's advaya, but it has three, there's no division, but it has three divisions. It's advaya, advaya jnan, but then it's one, manifested as three. Brahman is Krishna, that's one. Paramatma is Krishna, that's one. Bhagavan is Krishna, that's one. The three are in one. It's everything is within Krishna and outside of him. So the gopis, they know Bhagavan, and the highest one, they know Bhagavan, not only Bhagavan, Purna Bhagavan, Purnatam Bhagavan. And just Bhagavan, Bhagavan Vishnu, or Bhagavan Vasudeva Krishna, they know Swayam Bhagavan, Vrindavan Sri Krishna, the Sarvavatari, Rasaraj Bhagavan, that Bhagavan. They know him perfectly, heart to heart, mind to mind. So there's one other, third translation here. Hearing Govinda's unpleasant words, the Brajagopis felt great sadness, Vishana. Their expectations broken. So sankalpa is an expectation, something you desire to happen. I'm expecting, I'm desiring, I'm vowing, I'm affirming that if I perform this Uttana Ekadasi Brat, my Lord, if I observe Nirjala Ekadasi on this Uttana Ekadasi Brat this coming Saturday, and avoid all eating or drinking and pass the whole night in Jagran, Shravanam Kirtam, hearing and chanting your divine intimate glories in Vrindavan with your Parishads, then I'm expecting or hoping that you'll bless me and give me a drop of purity or a drop of bhakti, Raja Bhakti. That's our sankalp. Before one undergoes any devotional activity, he takes sankalp. What he desires to attain or offer, what he desires to offer, that's the shape. The body of a sankalp is composed of what he desires, what he intends to do, what he intends to, what he intends to try to do and perform or act as an offering to the Lord, and what are his intended desires, benefits, his what's called expectation. Therefore, one translator has translated sankalp as expectation. Sankalp vikalp, acceptance, rejection. Expectation and the frustration or expectation vikalp. And bhagna means breaking. So their expectations broken, bhagna sankalp. Their strong desires were thwarted. So they had strong desires for what? The gopis had strong desires and expectations for sense enjoyment, to enjoy Krishna, to dance the night away and enjoy the sweet, powerful, loving embraces of Krishna, or taste the nectar of his lips, or relish the intimacies of conjugal affairs in the kunjas and groves of Vrindavan, Rati Keli. Not at all. Their expectations and their strong desires that were thwarted. Thwarted means defeated, broken. They were bhagna sankalpa, their strong desires and their expectations were expectations and desires to please Krishna and make him happy, make him in every way possible filled with satisfaction and joy. And now that opportunity to do that, which no one knows how to do better than they. Radharani knows that no one can please Krishna better than she can or satisfy his every whim or wish. And she can pamper him the best and speak to him the sweetest and touch him in the most gentle way and kiss him in the most tender way and embrace him in the most beautiful, intimate way and walk with him and dance with him and talk with him and sing with him and play music with him like no other sakhi can. And now that's being, she's being sent home and he's playing hard to get and indifferent. So they felt, oh, this is very bad. Then what? As a result of that, their desire, because when our desires for sense gratification are broken or thwarted or frustrated, we become filled with anxiety, personal anxiety. We become sad, frustrated, disappointed, and angry. Frustration of desire or expectations. We have a term. I expected you to do this, and you let me down. You disappointed me. You ever hear this term? You disappointed me. That means my expectations for you, you broke. Bhagna. You broke them. And you your behavior, your response and your activity disappointed me. You broke my heart. I was expecting more from you. I gave so much, and now I'm disappointed. And then you'll feel anxiety. What happened? You wonder. That's for you because of our own sense gratification, our own position is threatened or diminished or reduced, our happiness breaks or we feel sad and unhappy. But the gopis are, they're feeling chinta, unbearable, they were unbearable, they felt unbearable anxiety. Chinta duratiya, too difficult to overcome. Because their whole existence and the whole reason for their leaving everything behind and coming to Krishna in dead of night was to please him and serve him and satisfy him. They were completely selfless and self-forgetful. They forgot everything about themselves. Whatever a person has, he's carrying with himself, they forgot it. They threw it out. They rejected it. We're carrying our name. We're carrying our fame. We're carrying our position in society and in family. and our relationships and our friendships and so many things we're carrying, our security and our health and our safety, they threw it out. They forgot it all, left it all. Now there was, what's the point? We're dead there and we're dead here. At home we're dead, we have nothing. We gave up that. That all died. And we came here for a life of service, a life of surrender, a life of fulfilling Krishna's desires and satisfying Him, and now we're dead over here. We're non-existent. What to do? So then this is, the great hosts were frustrated and they felt insurmountable anxiety. So this is, the Tika is there of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. I guess we'll start that tomorrow. This is 10 of 5. Should be, we'll repeat the verse again. Oh, I don't know if I read Srila Prabhupada's translation. Did I read? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know if I read. Did I read? I read Prabhupada's translation? I don't know. I read the third one. Srila Prabhupada said, when Krishna spoke in such a discouraging way, as I mentioned, for 10 verses, the gopis became very sad, for they thought that their desire to enjoy rasa dance with Krishna would be frustrated. Thus they became full of anxiety. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that the Braja gopis are dread. Why? Because every name has, why particular names appear in Shastra. God has Rupam, Ananta, Namam, unlimited names, Vishnu Sahasranam, Gopal Sahasranam, Radha Sahasranam, and there's many different Sahasranams of the Lord in His various incarnations. So why Shukadeva Goswami is choosing the word Govinda Bhashya instead of Krishna Bhashitam or whatever, Madhava Bhashitam? Vishnu says that, but by addressing Krishna as Govinda, it means that because he has available for his utilization various kinds of playful speech which he has spoken to the gopis. Excuse me. Vishnu Chakravarti is imagining that the gopis are speaking this, that they're saying, he's imagining in his spurti that the gopis are addressing Krishna, and although it's Shukadev, but sometimes they say Shukadev also has a gopi sarup. We heard that earlier when Acharya had that viewpoint. So Vishnu Chakravarti is saying the gopis are addressing Krishna here in this verse, Govinda Bhashitam, because Krishna is Vindate. Vindate is the same meaning as Labhate, which means he has available in his hand. Krishna Govinda has available to himself. He has accessibility to what? For his utilization, ga. Ga, go means ga. What does ga mean? Go means speech. Ga means speech. The word G-A-H means speech. So he's utilizing, vindate means utilization, ga, various words. So that person who's expert at utilizing different playful speech, which he's speaking to us with, his bhashitam, he is known as Govinda. Govinda means one who enjoys playing with words. He enjoys playing with words. Ga vindate. Bhashitam means manifest verbal expressions. So we can continue with that more. The gopis themselves are particularly, he's saying, they're calling him Govinda. Oh, Govinda, this is what you have to say to us. Anyway, everyone calls you Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. You're Govinda because you like to play with words. Now you're using your words and playing with us because we don't know whether to take the external meaning of your words, which is go home and perform Dharma, or read between the lines and take the internal meaning, which means stay with us. And stay with me and love me and spend the whole night carelessly and carefree under the moon dancing in the Rasa celebration. Now this is the meaning of the word Govinda. So we'll carry on there tomorrow with more commentaries on verse 10.